Me, if you will, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 10. Now, I have been sharing with you and teaching you about the anointing of God and the seven facets of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's not seven Holy Spirits, but there's one Spirit. There's one Holy Spirit. But there's seven, I don't know how you would, you know, maybe I could say dimensions. I'm saying facets, but you might say, well, if you cut a pie in seven different pieces, how many know if it's a coconut pie, it's still a coconut piece of pie? So the Holy Spirit is still the Holy Spirit, but there's different ways of manifesting that this anointing will bring and this anointing will do. Now let's read Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 again. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing." Now we have defined the anointing as the yoke destroying, burden removing power of God. The anointing is something that brings the manifestation of the power of God, not just to set you free, but to remove burdens and destroy yokes. And we've talked a great length about that. I want to make sure that, and I really believe that sometimes people underestimate the anointing that's in them and upon them. Now, we know in the Old Testament, the anointing came upon certain individuals, priests and prophets and kings. But, you know, if you're a believer, and we're New Testament believers, amen, we've got a better covenant based on better promises. And when we receive Jesus, the Bible says the anointing came on the inside of us. So you are the anointed in the body of Christ. And don't ever underestimate or devalue the anointing. Now, I say that to you because you must learn, and I think I've told you this in the past, but you must learn to protect the anointing. If you value something, you protect it. Amen? You're going to protect a $100 bill a lot better than you're going to protect a penny. Now, let me just say this to you. The anointing is one of the most valuable assets that you and I have. Because when the anointing is there, then it's going to do exactly what the Word of God says it's going to do. It's going to lift the burdens and it's going to destroy yokes. And how many know there's a lot of people that are heavy laden? There's a lot of people that are yoked in bondages and they're not free. Now, some of you may not be free tonight, but you can get free. You don't have to stay. God never intended for you to come into the family of God and stay bound up. Now, we all slip up. We all make some mistakes. But the anointing is there. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord, in Luke 4:18, remember, said, the Spirit of the Lord has come upon me, and He has anointed me to preach the gospel, and so on and so forth. So you cannot separate the anointing from the Spirit of God. You can't separate the Spirit of God from the presence of God. When there's a presence of God, there's anointing of God. And all those things are designed to take burdens and to destroy yokes, okay? And then over in the book of Isaiah chapter 11, let's read verse 1 and 2. It says, "There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him." Now notice here, there is seven. Everybody say seven again. Seven facets of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're teaching on. Now, Jesus referred to it as the seven spirits over in the book of Revelation. But here, we see them in the way they're manifested. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord," that's one, "shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom," that's two. And then you have the spirit of understanding, that's three. And then you have the spirit of counsel, that's four. And then you have the spirit of might, that's six. And then you have the spirit of knowledge, the spirit of knowledge, that's six. And the fear of the Lord is seven. So you have seven different facets of the anointing, and we know that the anointing is to destroy yokes and lift burdens. Amen? And so we've said that all of these facets of the Holy Spirit carry an anointing. If you start with the first one, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. There's anointing that comes in the presence of God. The Spirit of wisdom. How many know that if wisdom has anointing on it, then it's going to destroy yokes and lift burdens? Come on, are you with me? And knowledge and so on and so forth. And tonight we're going to talk about this anointing of counsel, this spirit of counsel. Now, we need to look at this because we are people of God that need to learn to live by the counsel of God. Amen. Now, I know this may not be the most exciting thing you've ever been taught, and I just want to tell you something. I don't think I've ever taught on the anointing of counsel. So I'm not going to assume that you know very much about it, and I'm going to have to show you in the Scripture the importance of it, but God has called you and I to walk by the counsel of God. When we walk by the counsel of God, then if you can just picture yourself on a track, and like a train track or like a path, and there's a lot of crossroads in a path. There's a lot of branches, that you can get to, and you have to make decisions which way to go. When you travel along life's path, you're going to come to some crossroads. You're going to come to some places where you have to make decisions. Well, if we stay in the path of the godly counsel, then we'll wind up in the destination in the plan of God that will be successful. Amen. Now, I'm saying this so that you'll understand. If we do not walk in godly counsel, then we'll come to those crossroads, we'll come to those intersections, we'll come to the pressures of life, and we'll succumb because we'll listen to the wrong counsel. Remember, we don't have original thoughts. I taught you a little bit about this on Sunday. Our thoughts come to us because something or someone is influencing us. Everybody in here is influenced by somebody or something. Now, what we have to learn is that every thought that we have, we've got to learn to filter it down so that it comes back and that the standard is the Word of God. In other words, whatever we do that constitutes making a decision to keep us on the right track, because if we stay on the right track, then the final result or the end result is going to be a successful life. You do plan on having a successful life. Okay, so it comes about as we stay on the track of godly counsel. Okay, so I kind of wanted to get that to you. Now, let me just define counsel for you here. Define counsel as, first of all, it is advice. Anybody ever been given any advice? It is information. It is consultation. It is given for directing the conduct of another. Advice given for the purpose of directing the conduct of another. And so you could simply say counsel is advice given to you to show you how to act. So to show you how to act in life, how to act out your life. And it doesn't really matter what part of life that we're talking about. It may be in your relationship. It may be in your marriage. It may be in your business. It may be financially. Whatever it is, see, it becomes important that you and I walk in the counsel of God. Are you with me so far? All right. Now, we know that there's a lot of voices out there. We know that there's a lot of ungodly counsel. There's a lot of things out there that directly influence us. Sometimes it's a relative. Sometimes it's a close friend. Sometimes it's, some member of family, or maybe it's an associate. But you know, what we have to understand that whatever we're influenced by is what we're going to act upon and act accordingly. So we've got to make sure that the influence that we're receiving comes back and it lines up with the Word of God. Amen? Now let's go to Psalms chapter 1. Again, I can't say I've ever even taught on this anointing of counsel, but if it's a true counsel, just like wisdom or knowledge or the fear of the Lord, it's going to contain anointing. And what does anointing do? It destroys yokes and lifts burdens. Amen? So that's why we want to walk in godly counsel. Now turn to Psalms 1. You probably read Psalms 1 many times, but let's look at it in the light of what we're teaching tonight on the subject of counsel. Praise God. Hallelujah. All righty. Are you ready? It's a facet of the anointing. And so I'm sowing into your hearts tonight scriptures on the counsel of God. Now, here's what it says in Psalms 1. Let's read Psalms 1, 2, and 3 here. Psalms 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law he meditates day and night." And then he goes on and says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall" what? "Whatever he does shall prosper." So it's not the will of God that we go through life as withering saints. Amen. We ought to be standing upright. And look, when we fall, look, it's not God's fault. Amen. What we've got to learn is to get back under godly counsel and make sure, because he starts off by saying, "Blessed is the man." What does blessed mean? Anybody remember? Blessed means empowerment to prosper. In other words, what he's saying here is that you're going to prosper if you walk in godly counsel. The word blessed means empowered to be in control of your situations and your circumstances, instead of your circumstances and situations being in control of you. Isn't that a great switch? Now, here's what he's telling us. He's saying that a man will be empowered to prosper if he walks in the counsel of the godly, or he walks in godly counsel. But you can turn that right around and say that a man or a woman will not be empowered to prosper, will not be in control of their circumstances and situations if they walk in the counsel of the ungodly. So we get to make a choice. Are we going to walk in the counsel? When I choose to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, then I am not going to prosper. The end result is not going to be what really God's plan for my life is to have. Now, we got to discern and we got to make those calls whether the influence or the advice or the counsel that we are given or the instructions that we're given, is it godly or is it ungodly? Because everything has to be weighed out in the counsel of God. The man that walks in the ungodly counsel will not be empowered to prosper. How many of you see that? Now, this is pretty plain. I mean, this is pretty simple here. And thank God, you know, I'm just telling you that again, there's a lot of things out there that influence us. You know, you've got talk shows and you've got the host of shows that give you instructions and give you counsel. But you know what? We don't need to receive our counsel from ungodly people. Now, I respect every person for what they are and so on and so forth. But you know, when it comes to life and death matters, when it comes to situations in life, I want godly counsel. I want to find out and get back in the Word here, because it says that a person that's walking in the godly counsel, it says he's going to delight himself in the Lord. And That means that you're going to be very, very content in finding out what the Word of God says on a particular matter that's pertaining to your life. It says that he's going to meditate in that Word day and night. Do you know what that means? That means that the godly counsel becomes a way of life. It becomes like, okay, I'm going to protect the anointing in my life because the godly counsel is what's going to lift the burden and destroy the yoke that has got me tied up or got me headed in the wrong direction. In other words, wherever the anointing is, there is opposition. And you know who's opposing you, right? And so when there's anointing, there's opposition coming. So the pressure comes, do I protect the anointing in my life or do I succumb to the sin and to the flesh so that I lose the value of the anointing? Well, I'm here to tell you, once you understand the value of the anointing and you weigh that thing out, then sin is going to be less of a temptation for you. You're going to find out that if you can walk in that anointing and stay in that anointing, you're going to walk free. And you're going to walk, when you come to that crossroad, when you come to that place where you've got to make decisions, you know that the counsel that you're getting is coming from God and it's not coming from something that's ungodly. Amen? Making a choice to walk by the counsel of God. Now, let me say this to you. You've got to, again, make sure that you're not receiving your counsel from people that are not born again. Amen. Now you got to be watchful even if people are born again. Amen. But there's a safeguard. Now if you're going to get any kind of instruction or information, you at least want it coming from somebody whose spirit is born again. Amen. That's why you're not supposed to be unequally yoked together in any situation. Now listen to me. Again, there are people that value the counsel that they hear out there more than they value the counsel of God. Now I know you're not like that, but you know there's people that take what Oprah says and takes that like that's Bible, like that's truth. Well, you know, bless her heart. Why would you be taking something pertaining to life and death or just because they have some doctor on there that's got a degree and you know, an expert? Well, listen, I know an expert that's an expert of experts. Amen? And if I'm going to do something, I want to make sure that it lines up with God's Word. I want to make sure that, oh, I feel something. I said, I want to make sure that I'm walking in the counsel of the godly. Amen? Not the counsel of the ungodly. Because when I walk in the counsel of the godly, then, you know, hey, I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be empowered to prosper and be in charge over my circumstances and situations in life. You know, why would you, you know, and I see this a lot, especially in situations where somebody's getting married and they want to take the advice of somebody you know, they struggle all their married life. Tell you things like, well, you know, you got to be careful when you get married. You just don't know what you're getting into. Now, that's a great way to start a marriage, isn't it? Huh? I mean, you know, stop and think about it. You don't want, you know, it may be somebody close to you trying to tell you these things, and they're telling you out of their experience. But you don't need experience. What you need is the Word of God. What you need is what God's Word says, because the Word of God is what's going to take you to the destination where you want to be when all this is said and done. Are you listening to me? So we got to make sure that we're very picky about those who influence us and about those who, you know, give us counsel. Now, you know, there's a lot of, and I won't get off into that tonight, but there's some well-known TV preachers, personalities, they're going through divorce right now and up there teaching women how to have happy marriages. Give me a break. Amen. See, you don't know about all these things, or maybe you do know about some of these things, but I'm telling you, you don't want to get counsel from somebody that's going through a struggle and it's going through a crisis, that's going through a situation where they've let the devil come in there and win in their life, and they're sitting there trying to give you godly counsel. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, you know, it's like an unsaved man. All you men, do I have any men in here? unsaved man can't tell you how to be a man. I know that didn't go over too big. A lot of times people don't understand what it takes to be a man. You know, a man is the one where the buck stops. He's the one that has to take the responsibility. Now, he can blame it on a lot of things, but he's the one that's got to take responsibility. Are y'all here? Okay. So you know, that's what the Bible says. The Bible says if, you know, a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. The responsibility lies with the man, not with the woman, to be a real man. See, to be a real man, you've got to come back and get some godly counsel. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I did childish things, but when I became a man, see, to become a man is a saying, but you know what? It's more than a saying. It's taking the role and the responsibility. And, you know, the world will paint a different picture of this. The influence and the ungodly counsel will paint a whole different light on what it means to be a man. So those are all things you've got to understand. Now look over in Psalms 33. Sometimes I'm just telling you these things because we depend on the world to give us counsel and let sports stars, athletes, you know, TV personalities, let them do our influencing to us, or because we think their popularity, that what they get up there and say is godly counsel, but don't bank on it. Are you with me tonight? Psalms 33. So you got to ask yourself, who's giving you advice? You ever ask yourself that? Who's giving me advice? I said, did you ever ask yourself, who's giving you advice? Praise the Lord. That's why the Bible says that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the habit is or the manner of some are. Amen? But we're to admonish one another. We're to teach one another. That's why the scripture I read tonight in the offering is for rebuke, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Amen? That a man can be thoroughly equipped, I mean decked out, fully furnished. Praise God for every good work. You want to do some good works, don't you? All right, Psalms 33, verses, let's read verses 8. It says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations or the people to nothing. Did you see that? The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people, of the peoples, of no effect. Now get that. The counsel of the Lord stands how long? The counsel of the Lord stands forever. There's also, go to the book of Proverbs, because you have to get the mindset that the Word of God cannot fail. And the Word of God has been tried, it's been proven, and it cannot fail. Proverbs 14, verse 12, because when we walk in the counsel of God and people come against us, they're coming against the Word of God. Because God's counsel will stand for how long? Okay. That's why you and I have always got to come back. Is this the Word of God? Are we standing on the counsel of God? That's why there's an anointing there. That's why the Holy Spirit calls it a facet of the anointing. It says in verse 12, it says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death or destruction. See, every one of you in here probably have opinions and you have ideas of how something ought to do or something ought to take place. But you see, again, really what matters is what does God say? We're really not interested in opinions. Now, thank God, you know, that some of you and some of us, you know, we've got experience in some things and we can relate to those experiential things. But, you know, God's best is not for us to go through life making mistake after mistake after mistake. God's best is not for us, you know, to trip and fall because we're trying to learn from our mistakes. Thank God we can learn from our mistakes. Thank God we can learn from mistakes of others. But if we'll get on the counsel of God, how many know we'll make a whole lot less mistakes? So there's a way, see, that seems right. You know, we can get hard-headed and we can say, hey, this is the right way. Well, we better come back and look. Is the way that we're saying is right, is that the way of God? Because if it's not the way of God, it's going to lead to death. That means we got off of that track. Keep that track pictured in your mind. Because as you go through life, you're on a track. And sometimes that track goes fast. Life comes at you fast, like that commercial says with that scarf around that lady's head and you run into a fence. I'm telling you, you can run into some fences. You can run into some walls. Amen? Because again, the devil wants to take you off of that track. He doesn't want you to reach your destination in God. You know why? Because he doesn't want the success plan to work for you. But the devil's still a liar. I said the devil's still a liar, and we are operating in the counsel of God. And God's word will stand for how long? Okay, thank you, you got it. Now, Proverbs chapter 19, moving right along here. Everybody say, praise the Lord. Now look at this. Psalms 19, verses 20 and 21. It says, hearken or listen to counsel. What kind of counsel? Yeah, godly. And receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Now notice what he said there. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Now, the reason people don't see, look back at verse 20. The reason some people don't see their latter days is because they didn't start their first days right. Instead of doing it God's way, we got into a situation. We got into a thing, we got into a, you know, whatever it may be, but we didn't do it God's way and it turned out wrong. Well, when it turns out wrong, who are we going to blame? Do we think just because we became a Christian that now everything we do is going to work out and it's going to be fine? I got news for you. It's only going to work out and be fine as we become doers of the Word, or we become walking up in the Word of God and coming back and saying, okay, what's the counsel of God on this situation? What's the counsel of God in this thing that I'm walking out in my life? Are you with me? Proverbs 20 says this. Now, let me just keep reading here because I got a lot to cover. Proverbs 20, 18. Now, it's going to start talking about making war. Now, you all understand that we're in a good fight of faith, don't you? When did you ever think that you could cower down to the devil and he'll leave you alone? See, where did you ever get counsel that says that if you become a Christian, everything in life now will be rosy? Where did you get the counsel that, oh, I'm saved now, that means that I'm immune from attacks? You didn't get that counsel from God. In fact, the Word of God teaches it just opposite of that. The devil don't bother too much those that are not walking with God because he's already got them. They're already walking in the pathway of death. Oh, the devil has his puppets, remember? He has puppets and he has those that will do his bidding, that will do his thing. But you see, that's because he can influence them. Now they think they're right. But there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death. So, you know, we've been taught many times wrong, but we're not willing to come back and get on the counsel of God. We've been taught or we've been influenced in doing something, you know, one way. Bless God, this is the way I taught, this is the way we've always done it, and this is the way we're going to do it. Well, how many know, if that's your attitude, you're going to get off track pretty quick. The devil's already got you rolling into a number. I tell you, you're going to hit a wall. So we got to come back. We got to be willing to make war. Now, let me read this scripture to you because some of you are looking at me real funny. What does that mean, make war? Look at verse 18. If you don't start out right, how many know it's very difficult to end up right? Amen. Hello? You're not going to go to Dallas by taking off south. You're not going to end up where you thought you would end up, okay? Now, the devil is a master at deceiving. See, he'll make you think you're going north, but you're going south. He'll give you an inner tube so you can swim the river to make it easy for you. But you're still going to be going south. All right, now look here, verse 18. It says, I know it's in here, I read it a while ago. Plans, look here, verse 18. It says, plans are established by what? Okay. By wise counsel, we wage war, or we wage war. In other words, every purpose of God is established by counsel. Whatever the purpose is for your life, you should be able to go back and get the Word of God. It should be able to be confirmed out of the mouth of two or more witnesses. Never be afraid to have the counsel confirmed. Amen. If it's the Word of God, because a lot of people, see, they get plans, and they get visions, and they get dreams, and they get inspiration to do something, but they did not start it right, or maybe they started right, but they don't continue in the counsel of God, and here comes the opposition, and you're not ready to make war, so you cave in, you quit, and you stop. How many Christians start out doing something in the Lord, start out doing something because they're on fire from God, and here comes the devil, smacks you upside the face, and then you go pout for a while, or somebody in the church or somebody says something, oh, look at so-and-so, look at them, and you start saying, oh, well, I guess I wouldn't call to do it anywhere. I guess I'm not able to do it, and you stop. You cave in and you quit. I know you don't know anybody like that, but I know a few. I'm telling you, you've got to be prepared to make war. In order to make war, you're going to have godly counsel. Because you can be sure that when you step out in what God has called you to do, and don't get confused and think that God calls everybody to get up here and preach. You're supposed to be anointed wherever God called you. If God called you to be a truck driver, you ought to be an anointed truck driver. If God called you to be a teacher, then you be an anointed teacher in that classroom to those kids that you're teaching. Don't think that God calls everybody to be a preacher. He doesn't. God has given you the anointing so that you can unction under that anointing in whatever you are called to do in life. Whatever you're called to do. The anointing is supposed to empower you or enable you to function. To do it. I mean, if you're anointed, you know, if you're an anointed piano player and the anointing comes upon you, you don't stop playing the piano and get up there and do a jig and dance. You play under the anointing because the anointing is what's going to destroy the yokes and lift burdens off of people. You covet that anointing. You protect that anointing in whatever field you're in because God has got people there and you need the anointing. And if we don't understand the protection of that anointing and we don't ready ourselves to make war in the counsel of God or godly counsel, then when the opposition becomes so great to us and the pressure is so mounting up, then the first option that we entertain is giving up. And God has never called you to give up anything unless He didn't call you to do it in the first place. Amen. How many times have I heard, well, I guess I'm not sure. Well, why did you ever step out and do it in the first place? Are you here? I mean, get godly counsel. You know God wants you to do something. You know God has a purpose for your life. Just don't confuse it with ministry. Now everybody, you know, hey, we need to be involved in ministry of some kind. Whether it's serving, or whether it's involved in one of the areas of ministry. We all need to be doing something. Because there's a difference between our vocation and our calling. Don't ever get those areas confused, or you'll be one of the ones that cave in, quit, give in, and always wondering, well, you know, man, I didn't expect this. This too much responsibility. Oh, this is... No, that's not the way God's plan works. Amen? Okay. So, you got to believe that God is speaking you to do something. You can't just live off of the dreams. You can't just live off of one night, boy, I really got inspired. You got to come back and get the Word of God on it. You got to come back and get godly counsel. Amen. If you continue in the Word, He said, then are you My disciples. If you continue in the things that you have learned. Are you with me, sir? So we make mistakes and so on and so forth. But listen, we got to come back because the anointing enables us, it empowers us to function in the areas of life that God has called us into. We have to make sure our plan is in the Bible. Look at verse 18 again. Plans are established by the council. Are y'all with me? What is God calling me to do? What does God want me to do? Because opposition is going to come in everything that I do in life if I'm a Christian. And I know that God wants me to succeed and not to fail. The devil wants you to fail. The devil wants you to stay below the poverty line. Are you with me? God is the one who called you to success. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So, are you able to make war? Do you understand how to fight a good fight of faith? Are you going to quit and give up and throw in the towel when the heat gets on? Come on, somebody. Never, you know, don't go into something thinking, well, maybe this will work, maybe it won't, I don't know. No, what kind of confidence is that? That's like signing one of those, what do they call those things, the pre-nuptial or nuptial agreements or whatever, you know. In other words, you're planning on failing going into the thing. Now, what kind of confidence does that build? What kind of faith can you exercise thinking, well, you know, I better have an escape plan. And I've had people come to me and say, will you marry us? I say, no. Well, why? Because this person is not a believer. Well, we'll go to the justice of the peace. And well, then go. And don't call me the next morning when you wake up with the monster. Hello? People, well, I believe God's calling me to leave this place. Well, did God tell you to come here in the first place? Well, I don't know, but I'm leaving. Well, then leave. You know, you see how ridiculous we can get? Because we're not walking in godly counsel, but we're being influenced by some demon or some ungodly heathen or somebody that's got 30 years of experience. And boy, I'm going to tell you how to do this, man, because I really know how to do this. I've learned. I've got bruises to show you. I've got stains I can show you. Well, that may be great experience, but how many know? We got to get beyond experience and come back and say, what does the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? What does the word of the Lord, the counsel of God that will stand forever, say? If you're here, say amen. Now, let's look right quick. Oh, man, we got 5 minutes. Proverbs chapter 1. Are y'all okay? Okay. The counsel is sure. It's not the counsel of the world. Okay? I didn't read Psalm 73:24. Let me read that right quick. I won't have time to preach on all these, but I'll at least get you the script. Read Psalm 73:24. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. It says, "You will guide me with your counsel, and afterward receive me to glory." Now the word to, T-O there is italicized, so I submit to you. He's not talking about calling you into glory or when you get to glory. He's talking about when you receive counsel that He guides you with, there will be glory on what you do. Now listen, glory, again, is a manifestation of God's favor and God's presence on your life. Amen. It's not goosebumps or, ooh, I feel this or I feel that. God wants you to be anointed in whatever you do for Him. Now look at Proverbs chapter 1. So let me show you what happens quickly here when a man refuses the Word of God. Now, you may be sitting there thinking, well, who in their right mind would refuse counsel from God? Well, let me just tell you, nobody in their right mind. The problem is most people are not in their right mind. People in their right mind would be here tonight. I mean, if they physically could get here. Amen. All right. Praise God. All right. Here's what it says, verse 24. He says, Proverbs chapter 1, because I have called and you refuse. See, God is always what? He's always trying to get the word to us. Always trying to get the word. That's why He esteems His word higher than even His name. The word takes preeminence. Amen. Everything we do as Christians ought to come back and be paralleled with the standard, which is the Word of God. Amen. If it's the Word of God, that's what we do. If it's not in the Word, then we better get in with God and find out what we're doing, if it's godly or not. Are you listening to me? He said, because I have called and you refuse, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish comes upon you. So He's saying these things are going to come. Now, are you going to do it in my counsel or are you going to do it in the counsel of the ungodly? Okay? Verse 28 says, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge. They rejected it. They refused it. And did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my what? See, that's why we got to understand what the fear of the Lord is. That's why we got to understand what understanding is and knowledge and so on and so forth. They despise my every rebuke. See, some people get mad at the preacher. I'm just telling you what the Word of God says. The Word is what brings reproof. The Word is what brings correction. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way. You know, didn't your mother tell you if you make the bed, you got to lie in it? That's what God's saying here. You're going to produce fruit. Fruit is produced because of the root. Amen. Amen. And be filled with full from their own fantasies. For the turning away of the simple, or you could say, now that's a real nice word, but the stupid, will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Remember what it says the fear of the Lord does? It keeps evil away from you. Oh, praise God. All right, just two more here and we'll close. Proverbs 11:14. Hurry right quick. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no counsel, the people what? Fall. But in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. And then Proverbs 15, Verse 22, last one, Proverbs 15, 22. Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. How many believe it's a pretty good idea to stay walking in godly counsel? And again, you know, don't ever be afraid. A lot of people, when they come to you for counsel, when they come to me, for example, for counsel, they really don't want counsel. They want you to agree with them that what they're doing is okay. Now, as long as you agree with them, everything's okay to them. But if you disagree, then you find out if they're walking in the flesh or walking in the spirit. Amen? We don't agree with people just to make them feel good about what they're thinking. Amen. It has to line up with the Word of God. Amen. Amen. A mature man or woman want the truth. Amen. If I'm headed for a disaster, if I'm headed for a ditch, I want the truth. If I'm flying a little airplane and they tell me you're headed straight for a Category 5 hurricane, now I have a choice to make. I either turn that thing around or set it down. Why do I want to fly into it and get torn apart? You see? It's very simple, right? Amen. If we walk in the counsel of the godly, we'll be empowered to prosper. That means we'll have control over circumstances and situations. Amen. If we don't, we won't. Well, it becomes a way of life. Said, we'll meditate on that word, what? Day and night, day and night. Think about what you heard tonight. Think about it. And when you get into these situations, come back and say, hey, what does the word say? Because if it's the word, it'll stand forever.
Amen.
And if people come against you, and they will, they're coming against God.
Amen.
Because you're standing on the word. You're standing on the counsel of God. It'll stand forever. Amen. Praise God. Come on, put your Bibles down. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah.